let me again bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but again, we say it sincerely. It's just good, very good to get together and not only enjoy friendship and fellowship, but involve ourselves as a congregation in giving our worship to our Heavenly Father. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning. You're very welcome to please share that. Sometimes I ask brethren to look around, and you're very welcome to get up and go get a bulletin, but come back when you get received a bulletin. But the title of the lesson this morning is Joy, Joy, Joy. Opening verse is just simply Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice, but notice where the rejoicing is, in the Lord. In the Lord. Anyone who's in the Lord has an occasion for rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. See, happiness or joy desired by, I think, most people more than anything else. And yet, seems that few people find it. Happiness, I think I heard one person say, is life's most elusive goal. Because we desire it, we pursue it, but just seems we can't find it. Or some. Some have the idea of what it will take to make them happy. I've heard people say, I'll be happy when, and then they finish the sentence. And then they're going to put off their happiness waiting until something happens. We've heard the statement that money can't buy happiness. Of course, Dennis Burchett says, just give me the money, I'll do my own shopping.
Amen, brother.
I think I know where I can buy it. I know you can buy joy and cheer in the detergent aisle of the grocery store, but that's not the subject of our lesson. God definitely wants us to be happy. The scriptures are abundant with such words as happy, or joy, blessed, or gladness. And God's made abundant provision for us to be happy, to have joy. It's interesting, and I put in notes, we can even have happiness in the midst of trial, or troubles, or tribulation. In James 1, verse 2, count it all joy. Right? When does he want us to be happy? When you fall into various trials or temptations. What's so joyful about temptations or trials? He answers it in the next verse, in verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. So temptations or trials or troubles are not to be viewed as opportunities to sin, but rather they're opportunities to overcome, to strengthen our character, and that produces patience and joy. You ever notice when we're working and we're busy with tasks that when the work is finished, we have greater joy? That's when we get that warm or that fuzzy feeling. And we're glad something is done, or we're glad when there's a relationship that we're in that we enjoy. And we enjoy the rest, and we enjoy the fruit of our labor. So, I put in your notes, joy, you see, is a byproduct. It's a consequence. It's a result of a completed task or a relationship. You should rejoice because someone put a clock on the back wall for me. Knowing that I'm going to abide by that, and I'm going to take a look at that. So you have an occasion to rejoice. It's the result of someone else's labor. The road home from work is greater joy than the road going to the workplace. Receive greater joy when a task is complete. If you seek joy directly, you won't find it. In Hebrews 12, verse 11, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, no, but painful. But nevertheless, notice the words, afterward, later, when it's finished, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it or exercised by it. Sometimes it takes when something is over or the relationship that we're in, it gives us great joy. And so this lesson deals with happiness from above. Happiness that only God can give. The soul of man, or the spiritual side of man, is our topic this morning. And it's happiest when it's in favor with God. In Psalm 5, verse 11, let all those that put their trust in thee, you see the situation? Let all those that put their trust in thee now rejoice. Ah, my trust is in God. The verse continues. Let them ever shout for joy. Why? Because you, meaning God, defend us. See the result, the byproduct, the consequence of a particular action or an attitude or relationship that gives us joy. The verse continues. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in you. Lord, you will bless the righteous. With favor you will compass him as with a shield. When certain situations exist, or relationships exist, the consequence or the byproduct or the fruit or the result of that is great joy. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him. I am helped. Therefore, when that situation exists, therefore my heart greatly rejoiced, and with my song will I praise him. So we're going to look at sometimes joys that are found in the Bible. Doesn't exhaust the list. There's other verses, but we'll just notice these for our lesson this morning. Joys that are found in Christian living. Number one, Psalm 21, verse 1 in the Old Testament. Psalmist said, and in your salvation, how greatly shall I rejoice. Because of salvation. So again, that relationship, or because of that event, or because of that course of action, I rejoice. And now we rejoice because we have experienced salvation. In Psalm 35, verse 9, my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. Psalm 51, verse 12, when David found himself out of sorts with God, he said in his prayer of repentance, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. So getting back into a right relationship with God, he knew that's going to produce joy in my life. In Psalm 132, verse 9, it says, let your saints shout for joy. In Romans 5, verse 11, but we also joy. Now, where is joy again? That's our lesson. Point number one. We also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Joy is that result, that byproduct, that consequence of being in a right relationship or having completed a certain task. And then we feel good. Knowing that we're on God's side. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. In the text that was read to us this morning, likewise I say unto you in Luke 15, verse 10, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God as the result of one sinner that repents. The one found the lost sheep and brings it back. Now it's an occasion of joy. The lost coin is found. Oh, come rejoice with me. Was it joyous that a coin was lost or a sheep was lost? And the story continues in Luke 15 about the son who was prodigal and he comes back. And the father says that it was meet to make merry. It was right to make merry and be glad. Because this brother was dead and now he's alive. He was lost and now he's found. So now let's rejoice because that situation is now fixed. So number one, we rejoice because of our salvation. Number two, and I just want to read the verse. 1 Peter 1, beginning of verse 3. I'll read the whole text. I just highlighted in your notes some of the key phrases. But here's the completed text. Blessed, happy, joy, glad, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his mercy has begotten us. Now here's our relationship, our task. He's begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible. You see the blessings, the benefits? An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. Preserved in heaven for you. Verse 5. Who is the you and the who? Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, in this, because of that situation and those events, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while. If need be, you've been grieved by various trials. Yeah, sure have. Verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible because of our faith in what God has accomplished for us. We rejoice greatly because we believe. We have faith. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So because of our belief, there's a sense of satisfaction, comfort, gladness, joy, relief. Go, ah. Number 3. In Luke 10, verse 20, disciples came back to Jesus after being on a mission. And they rejoiced that the spirits that were subject to them. They've done marvelous work. So Jesus turns to them and says, oh, that's fine, rejoice in that, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So here's a because, a result. When something takes place, we rejoice. You ever notice how we go out of our ways, or many people do, to have their names written somewhere? Some people give great sums of money so they can build a wing on a hospital and have their name on it. All of these want their name on that building. And when I was a child, we heard about some fresh cement being poured in the neighborhood. Oh, an occasion of joy. We'll go write our initials in it. Of course, if we thought we'd get in trouble, we'd write somebody else's name in the cement. You know, we carved our initials in trees, chalk on the sidewalk. I know in many schools you'll have that honor roll. You'll list all the names of those who succeeded in scholastic or scholarship. My name was never on that roll, but when I was in school, the closest I ever got to honor was yes, your honor, no, your honor. We want to have our names written somewhere. Having our name in the roll of yonder provides us great joy. And here's what the Bible says in the Revelation, chapter 20, verse 12. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before God. Books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. In verse 15, anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's important to have our names written in the Lamb's book of life. There's great joy in having that confidence, that knowledge. Our names are written in heaven. Number 4 in your notes. In Romans 14, verse 17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. There should be great joy in your life and mine, just knowing that we are in the kingdom or the church, that we are in the family of God, that we are children of God. There should be great joy in knowing that relationship exists. And having or being His kingdom produces that joy. So then it begs the question, how does one get into the kingdom? If that's where joy is located, and I want joy, how do I get in the kingdom? Jesus said it. Jesus gives the entrance requirements. In John chapter 3, beginning at verse 5, Jesus answered to Nicodemus, said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." You can't. Unless, as Jesus said, you are born of the water and the Spirit. And then Jesus continues and gives an explanation. That which is born of flesh is flesh. Born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Nicodemus thought, oh yeah, I can't go back into my mother's womb. He said, no. That's born of flesh is flesh. Born of the water and the Spirit to enter the kingdom. Because that's where joy is. Being born again, that's newness of life. And that begins when we're baptized. The Bible says it this way. In Romans 6, beginning at verse 3. Do you not know? Don't you know? Don't you understand? Don't you have this knowledge? Don't you know, Paul said? Don't you know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, so when that event takes place, oh, there's a therefore. What's the result of that baptism? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When did new life begin? Not when you just heard the word. Not when you just said, oh my God, I believe the Bible story. Not when you repented and turned your life around. Not when you just said, God, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, your Son. Don't you know that as many of you as were baptized, don't you know that? Have that comprehension, that knowledge? Then you have newness of life. So we greatly rejoice. Number 5, we rejoice in hope. Our hope is built on the promises of God. The Bible says in Titus 1, verse 2, that God can't lie. God can't lie. We sang the song this morning, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Holy. Number 6, the last one I put in for your notes in our lesson this morning. Jesus said it. He gives a picture of a judgment day scene. And to those who have it, he says, well done. He says, good and faithful servant. What's the result? What's the byproduct? What's the consequence? Joy, that's what joy is. If I want joy, then I need to have done well, been a good, and been a faithful servant. And then Jesus says, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord, the result. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes at the last. Psalm 126, verse 5, they that sow in tears, in other words, have the struggles, the trials of life, and overcome, shall reap the consequence, the result, the byproduct. You'll reap what you sow. We've sowed this, but we'll reap in joy. Of course, the last, put in your notes, but Jesus said it himself in John 10, verse 10. I came that you might have life. I came for that purpose and have it more abundantly. But our rejoicing is in the Lord, always. And again, I will say, rejoice. So that's the lesson this morning. If you want to rejoice on that side of life, spiritual side of man, you'll need to be in the Lord. In the Lord. And all of these other things. And joy is the result of that. Just as those who were baptized, once they heard the word of God, the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8, after he was baptized, it says he went on his way rejoicing. I wonder if I could ask him, I say, why are you so happy? You used to have a long journey to make. You shouldn't be glad. That's a dusty trail. No, I'm rejoicing because he's just been baptized. The jailer at Philippi, after Paul and Silas preached to him, he was baptized, and then it says he rejoiced having believed. Rejoicing. Always in the salvation is always an occasion of joy in the Bible. It's that result, that byproduct. Ever have anybody ask you, what are you so happy about? Here's an answer you can give them. I'm on the Lord's side. I'm in the Lord. That's why I'm so happy, even in the midst of trials or struggles. You're subject to this invitation. We sing an invitation song. It gives you time to reflect upon the text. If you have that desire, that resolve to become a Christian, to be baptized, you can certainly honor that request this morning. If you want to just ask brethren for strength or encouragement, forgiveness, or help on the way, we can certainly honor that also. Let's stand together and sing the song that dance is selected.